This is a Pinball News production.
Okay, so my name is Jerry Stellenberg with Multimorphic Inc. We were previously pinballcontrollers.com, but we switched our names when we started building a new machine. A little bit of background on me. I'm a computer engineer by education. I've worked for Cisco Systems, Hewlett-Packard, 3Com, a couple of startups doing mostly digital logic design, designing boards, designing programmable logic chips, and more recently in system architecture and some product development management. So 3 or 4 years ago, I decided I wanted to build a custom machine. I mean, I'm just like probably most of you. I have 5, 6, 7, 20, 80 machines in my house. No, I got up to 11. I cut down. I'm now down to 4. But I got frustrated that all machines, in my opinion, since the 70s probably, are functionally pretty much the same. There have been changes to the displays, alphanumerics to DMDs. Now they're starting to integrate LCDs in machines. But the ball interactions, the way you play games, the rule sets, the modes, are all pretty much the same over that time period. And I wanted to do something new and different. So I started looking at designing this machine, and there's no control system you can go buy off the shelf to build a machine. I mean, mostly, if you look at the custom machines people are developing, they're all cobbled together microcontroller systems where they design their own transistor circuits to drive their features, and they do everything themselves. So there's nothing you can go buy, and I wanted to change that. I needed something I could build this machine on, so I went and designed my own. So actually, it's kind of funny. When I was talking to Ron about this presentation, he said, "Johnny O, thanks to both of you, by the way, Ron and Johnny, for setting up this rig to show off the machine. Like, how am I gonna use the rig and a slide presentation on the screen? How am I gonna do these two things together?" I'm like, I have a screen in the pinball machine. Why don't I just put the slides on there? So that's what I did. So control system. We need some hardware to build this machine, to run the machine on. So the first thing I did was design a P-Rock, and I have one sitting over here. This is a P-Rock board. Most of you have probably heard of it by now. It's a board that allows you to connect a computer of any sort, whether it's a big desktop computer or if it's a little Raspberry Pi board or a Beagle board or something. You connect that to this, you connect this to the machine, and then you control your lamps, your coils, your motors. You can read in the switches, and you can write high-level software on the computer. You don't have to write assembly language or low-level C anymore to build a pinball application. You just use whatever language you want to on your computer. We're using Python. I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But so this is the P-Rock. With this in place, we can start building the machine. But this is just a digital logic controller board. We need something to drive the coils, the motors, the high current devices. So we need some driver boards, and I have one of those here too. This is a driver board. Most of you are probably familiar with the huge board in the WPC. The newer Stern ones are a little bit smaller, but this is a driver board. It controls up to 16 devices, coils or motors or magnets, flashers, whatever. And what's neat about these is if you need more than 16, you just grab another one and they chain together. So if you're building a machine with 16 devices, you use one board. If you're building a machine with, geez, you can go as big as you want. 128 devices, 256 devices, just keep adding boards. This machine here has 4 of those boards in it. And what's cool about those little boards is because they're so small, you notice we're missing a big head, no back box on this machine. All the boards are under the play field, right next to the devices they're driving. Which is cool because if something breaks, you don't have to trace wires or you don't have to read schematics. You just go back to the board that's right next to them, check the fuse LED, see which one's out. If all the devices are out, the whole board's bad, whatever. So just recently, the P-Rock and the driver boards we've been selling for over a year now. The P-Rock's been out for 3 years. The driver boards we came out with a year ago. And just recently, for this machine, we developed some new boards. We developed a new driver board that drives 84 individual LEDs. And I don't think you can see them real well on the screen. The camera's not picking them up too well, but You can come up and look at the machine afterwards. There's 30 RGB LEDs on here. They're running through a little lamp show right now. And all of those LEDs are being driven by literally a 3x5 LED driver board. And the same story with the LED boards. If we want more than 84 individual LEDs, we just chain these boards together. We could make a DMD with these boards. Be the most expensive DMD on the planet, but you can still build a DMD with these driver boards. And then the switchboards. So I didn't want to wire up a switch matrix. I don't like switch matrices. I don't like debugging these weird diode failures where something in some row that's connected to the switch that's actually causing the problem is the one that's out. I wanted to design or to use direct connected switches. So I developed a little board. It's about a 2x3-inch board that reads in 16 individual switches. It also sits on the serial chain. So if you want 16 switches, you need one board. If you want 32 switches, you use two boards, 48, three boards. This machine has four of those boards in it as well. Okay, so now we have a full control system. We have the PROC, we have driver boards, we have switch boards. We're good to go on the hardware side. Now we need some software. So we developed, we being me and a guy named Adam Preble, who's just a software guy who got in touch with me when he learned about the project and he wanted to help out. So he and I developed this framework, software framework. It's a pinball OS. It's written in Python, a high-level language. So people who want to use these boards, the PROC and such, to build their own custom machines, they don't need to learn assembly language or C. They can write high-level code. They can develop their own. It's open source. It's free to download. It's free to copy, modify, use. You could build a pinball business yourself. You could sell 1,000 machines, use our framework. It's free to use. It's open source. You're welcome to do that. Okay, so all of that was done in preparation for this. We call it the P-Cubed. It was originally for PROC pinball platform. And it really is a pinball platform. This is not a machine that you're used to. And we don't want it to be. We're trying to sell a machine that you can buy one machine and you can play any number of games on it. The value proposition we're trying to create is totally different from what's out there. We don't want you to go buy 10 different machines, cycle them through your house, get bored of one, sell it, go buy another one. And you're spending, what, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, up to $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 on all these machines, where you could theoretically, if we do this right, you could buy one machine and it can represent tons of different playing styles, different modes, different games, different features. And I'll walk you through the game and show you why we believe we've created a platform that you can do that with. Okay, so the first one, obviously there's a big LCD in the middle of the playfield. And one way we can use that is to create dynamic artwork. There are a couple other machines that are starting to come out that are doing the same thing using little 9x9 or 13-inch monitors. It's cool because you can make the playfield look like however you want it to look. You can write software to change the look, the feel, the background. You can have things animated on your screen. You can do things you can't do with a piece of wood and some artwork. And the other way this platform is going to be dynamic so that we can create multiple interesting games is the entire upper playfield. And you can't see this at all on the screen, unfortunately, but again, you can come up afterwards and look at it. And by the way, we'll have this machine over in the game room after the seminar. We'll have it there all weekend. So come over, play it, try it out, see how you like it. Talk to me about it. Tell me what you like, what you don't like. Give me your opinion. But the entire upper playfield is a module. Or will be. This one isn't, but when we actually go build them, this entire upper play field will be able to pull it out, be four screws, essentially, maybe a couple more, pull it out, disconnect wiring harnesses, take another module, stick it in. The game, the system will recognize the module and enable the software applications that are tied to that module. And the plan is to ship this machine with one module at first, and multiple game apps, and then every 6 months or every year after that, release a new module with new game apps and continue to support the old ones as well. Some games will work with any module. Other games will be tied specifically to modules. Hopefully we can sign up some of the bigger name designers to design some modules for us. But right now, we're going to ship this one first. Okay, this is a pinball machine that you're used to. It's a piece of wood. Well, it's not quite a pinball machine that you're used to. Now it is. It's got white flippers on it. If you don't like white flippers, you change the color of your flippers. You don't have to pull them out, unscrew the big bolt, put new flippers in. You change the colors. It's still not quite a pinball machine that you're used to, though, because, well, now it is, right? It's got slingshots. It's got slingshot plastics. And unfortunately, the camera's not really picking up the artwork on them. There's a logo over here and here. They're much more visible when you're standing in front of the machine. But, okay, it's still not really a pinball machine that you're used to. But now it is. We got inserts, right? Any inserts we want. It's a little bit out of focus, but you get the idea. We can make any inserts we want. We can change the way they look. We can switch them around. We could, for example, switch light and lock to opposite sides. I mean, we can, obviously it's dynamic. It's an LCD. We can change the graphics. We can make them go wherever we want them to. We can make them look however we want them to. We can make them blink, just like you're used to insert lamps blinking. But I guess it's still not really a pinball machine like you're used to, because it doesn't have any artwork on the playfield. So guys, what do you like to look at when you're playing pinball? Girls. Girls? Now's probably a good time to talk about pre-orders. So the guys are all smiling. The few ladies in the room are shaking their heads. But we got you covered, too. But what do people... I mean, there's guys, there's girls. There are people like to look at cars. People like to look at spaceships. We got the kids covered. I mean, but the point is that we can make it look however we want it to look. And they're silly examples, and they're static pictures. But I mean, yeah, you get the idea. So in addition to interactive artwork... Well, I just blew the punchline. In addition to artwork, we have a new technology that lets the ball interact with that artwork. So we have the ability to track the ball as it's moving around the playfield. And if you think about what you can do with that, well, you probably will think about what you can do with that in the next few minutes or next couple days, and you can really do anything. You can have monsters that you blow up with the ball. You can have things jumping in and out of the way of the ball. You can have virtual rollover switches that when the ball hits them or rolls over them, they change colors or indicate that you hit a shot or something. You can have things like propellers or something that interact with the ball as the ball rolls around the screen. And so real quickly to demonstrate all of this stuff in action, we have a couple of little demo applications that I want to show off. Actually, can I have a volunteer to come up and play this? Yeah, please. What's your name?
Dylan.
Dylan? How you doing? All right, so you're going to be playing this Barnyard demo. And all it's going to really is, it's kind of tuned for kids. We actually took this machine to the Texas show back in March. Yeah. And kids started playing it. It's a little silly game, but they played it and played it. And we had a line waiting behind them. We had to kick them off the machine and let people play. What's going to happen is you're going to have animals running across the screen, and you're just going to shoot them with the ball. If you hit any upper playfield shot, it'll send out a new animal. But I think... Yeah, there you go. So, it's a simple one-ball game right now, just a little demo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dylan, come up afterwards. I got a shirt for you. I got a shirt for you. Just come up afterwards. So that's little, silly little demo game. And when I took it to Texas, we had three or four of those demo games. And people afterwards, the feedback we got was, we're not interested in a machine that's just a bunch of little demo games. Like, well, I'm not trying to sell you a machine that's just demo games. They were just little examples to show the interactions, to show what we could do with the machine. So we have a more full demo game application that I wrote for. Can I get another volunteer to come up and play this, Dan?
Sure.
So this is a three-ball game. It's just the red buttons. Let me start it for you in a sec. It's a full three-ball game. It's got modes. It's got things that are going on that I won't describe in detail. You'll just kind of probably not even realize they're going on while you're playing. But go ahead, hit. So it. There you go. I mean, it's just like any other pinball machine. You're pretty much shooting for lit shots. Right now, no one on the screen can see it, but there are some lit ramp shots up top. And we do have a little bonus display. If you hit the saucer that flies across the screen when the ball starts, it'll light mode for you. And then the center hole is to collect that mode. So now the way you light mode is by hitting both captive balls. Yeah, if you hit them full, it will. There's one. Notice the asteroids floating around the screen are blowing up when the ball rolls over them. The asteroids, if they hit the shield near the flippers, they will break down the shield. And if they break down the shield and then they start hitting the flippers will weaken. So it's a whole nother aspect, a whole nother thing in the game. You know how most people, in other games, the ball save text comes up on the DMD and someone's staring at the game and they don't even realize their ball is saved. But that's okay. Actually, I was hoping people wouldn't do real well because then we'd be standing here all day waiting for somebody to finish a game. Okay, so if virtual interactions, if the artwork isn't for you, then look, it's a piece of wood, but it's just like any other pinball machine, right? We could draw a yellow brick road on the screen and we could make it look like another machine. Or we can make it look, like I keep saying, however we want. So we have specific themes that we're going to develop for the machine. A couple of them are going to be original, completely original themes. We're kind of concentrating on the outer space, the universe, kind of a backdrop, but we're going to create some original themes. Outer space kind of gives us this nice canvas where we can create worlds that represent specific things. We could have a medieval madness world or an Addams Family world. I mean, we can create a world that is anything we want to make it. So it kind of gives us a good backdrop, and then we can go fill in different game apps on top of that. So again, dynamic artwork, modular shot layout. Let's talk about the cabinet. Because it's a game platform, it's really like a Nintendo Wii or a PlayStation or something. I mean, that's kind of the goal. So what do you do with a cabinet when you're developing a game that you can theme however you want? You can have multiple game apps. You can't just come up and put side art on there that relates to a specific game. Well, you can, but then when you're playing the other games, I guess it's the same problem with a MAME cabinet or something where you have this big cabinet. What do you do with the artwork? So one thing I wanted to do was come out with a cabinet that would match people's home decor. If I were buying a machine, I would want it to match my pool table or to match some of the furniture I have in my game room. But I understand that other people aren't into that stuff. So what our plan is we're kind of going with the Dell or the Apple website model. Come onto the website, pick the platform. Right now we only have the one. Pick your cabinet style, pick your cabinet coloring, potentially pick your cabinet side art if we have two or three different versions of side art. The other thing we'll probably do is make it so that you can apply your own art, whether they're decals that you apply yourselves or whether they're just, whether we have a box that you can open up, stick some side art in, and close it. But the idea is to make it as customizable as we possibly can, because we know people, I mean, a lot of you are probably looking at it and saying, this is too plain, this isn't what I'm used to with a pinball machine, it won't go with the other machines. And sure, that's true for the side art, it's also true for the back box. I personally like it without the back box. When I stick this we have it in my office at home, and I have an open archway to my living room, And I love the fact that I can stick this machine in my room and it doesn't just take up the whole room. It's physically the same footprint, but something about not having a back box makes it feel a lot smaller. You can see right over it. When we were at the Texas show, we would stand behind it and watch people. And it's funny because you can see the ball when it's going right down the center drain, and people don't realize it's coming, but you know it's about the drain right between the flippers. So definitely come by later. Tell me your feedback on the cabinet, on the back box. I'm going with the option model. I want people to have the option of doing whatever they want. I'd like to give people the option of designing third-party back boxes. Right? A lot of people like to customize their machines. A lot of home business owners like to build new things for the pinball community. Maybe it's better if I don't build a back box. Let's let someone who likes working on back boxes and doing their own art, let's let them design us some back boxes. The other idea is having a monitor up here too. We have the monitor in the play field, but that's good for the home environment. It's not so good for the arcade environment. So maybe we put a monitor connection out the back and let people connect the monitor. Maybe we add a framework for putting slideshows up there, running animations, or heck, even a framework for pulling in advertisements. When you talk about that kind of stuff, there's a ton of things you can do. I'm more concentrating right now on the machine itself, right? We want to come out with the platform. We've brought a machine here. We're showing you it works. We realize we don't quite have the reputation that a John Papaduke does or a Jersey Jack does, where you're all just going to go throw down 7, 10, 17K on a machine without even knowing what the theme is or without seeing a working prototype. We know we're not in that position. So this is our second prototype. We took the first one to Texas. This one's different. For those of you who saw it in Texas, this one has a bigger monitor. The one in Texas did not have the floating flippers. These, by the way, are brand new flippers. Hopefully they worked well. How'd they work, Dan? Dylan. So we brought the hardware here to prove that we can build a pinball machine. It's a fully functional machine. It's got the modes. It's got the sample games. It's got the RGB LEDs pretty much everywhere. It's got, again, you can't really see these. You can see the blue lights sitting here. It's got custom RGB lit side targets. These aren't stand-up targets that come through the play field like the targets you're used to on the other machines. These are floating targets that you can run your hand right underneath them. And the reason we did that, obviously, is because we have a monitor right here. We can't drill up through the monitor. And our ball tracking technology can't see around screws that are in the play field. Target customers. So most pinball companies are targeting operators. And targeting, well, mostly they all want as many operators as they can to buy their machine. We're taking a different route. We're targeting home buyers, collectors, gamers. Really, there's two segments we're targeting. The top three are that segment, the home buyers. This pinball platform, we don't think is really something that the operators are going to want to put in an arcade. Just like the multiple video game boxes, what are they, 50-in-1s, or the main machines that they don't really work in an arcade environment. And we don't think this one necessarily will either. We think it works perfect for a home environment where someone has some money to spend and they want to buy one machine and they don't want to fill up their game room, their living room, their kitchen, their bedroom, their garage with pinball machines. They just want one machine, but they want to be able to play a bunch of different themes.
What's wrong with that?
Maybe
you're half of my lifestyle.
maybe I should stop talking now. The other target market is the custom, the branded machines. So there are companies out there and there are individuals who want a machine specifically customized for them. And because we have the dynamic artwork, because we can do anything we want with the cabinet, we can custom build really whatever you want. We can make it look however you want. We can build custom game applications for you. If you're big in a specific hobby and you want a custom pinball machine centered around that hobby, we can do that for you. We can do it a lot easier than going to some random or not so random custom machine builder who's going to build a machine up from scratch, right? We have the platform here. If you like the platform, then it's pretty easy to drop in new software. The other thing about the software is it's all going to be open platform. An open platform means not necessarily the same as open source. Our framework is open source. Like I said before, you can go download the software, you can use it, you can modify it, you can do whatever you want. The games we release may or may not be open source. I don't know yet. Probably for the original themes we do, they very well may be open source. Every other piece of software my company has written is open source, freely available, downloadable, editable. If we do a licensed theme, obviously it probably wouldn't be able to be open source. But the platform itself will be open, meaning anybody will be able to write their own games and run them on this machine. We'll tell you how to do it. We'll give you some tools to make it easier to get that done. So if you have a programmer friend and you want a game that does something specific, then just get your programmer friend to help you out. And heck, if you want, make it available on the internet and try to make some money that way or something. I don't know. We're probably going to set up, once we grow enough and we have a few applications, we'll probably set up some online repository, kind of like an app store kind of deal, where you can just go download the new games. Hopefully people submit new games to us that we can test and then put on there. And we'll, like I said before, periodically come out with new games ourselves. So we do have pre-orders open now. We're going to make 250 what we're calling special edition machines. They're the first 250 we're going to make. We're promising two complete game applications. And by complete, I mean all the features that we advertise are going to be in there when we ship it. But they're going to be whatever, 3-ball, 5-ball, mode-based, traditional games that you're used to. We want to introduce the machine with games that people can relate to, meaning we're not going to go throw the crazy features in there right away. We'll slowly introduce those a little bit more over time. Like I said before, once you start thinking about the possibilities of the machine, you can come up with crazy ideas that you can do. We don't have to do 3-5-ball games. We could do multiplayer cooperative games where it tells you who to come up and play and hit the specific shot, and then it says, congratulations, now let the other player come up so he can hit this shot and you can work together. We're planning to do networked multiplayer games, head-to-head multiplayer games. And I've promised at the Texas show next year we're going to have two machines running head-to-head games. We're going to set up a little tournament and let people play head-to-head. I have a pretty neat idea for how to use this platform so the games can connect and you can battle your friends on them. And that'll work, of course, over the network because we have a computer in there and we can hook up the network easily. A bunch of mini games. All the mini games we developed so far will probably be on there, but we're also talking about doing a few more. The one specific one I want to talk about, that last special edition only mini game, we're going to allow you to give us media that you want integrated into the game. So whether it's you want your enemy as the bad guy that you shoot, or you want your family in the background, if you want your house as the backdrop for some of the game, then that's cool. We'll integrate whatever artwork you want. We may make it possible to drop in your own artwork yourself. We're not quite sure about that yet, but we will integrate your own artwork into the machine. The price, it's a little bit more than your Wizard of Oz's, your Stern machines. It's a little bit less than your John Papaduke special editions machines. We feel like we're at a pretty good price point. We're giving you a completely different value proposition than everybody else, right? We're selling a single machine, but it's a bunch of different games. And like I said, we'll start with the two full games, we'll give you some mini games, and then eventually we're gonna build out our game repository, our database of games, and go from there. It's a grand off if you pay early. And then we have some other staged incentives. You get some coupons. If you miss the November deadline and you pay by March, we give you some coupons for future merchandise and things like that. But there's more information online about that. What we haven't talked about is serviceability. And that's a big deal not just for operators, but for home people. Actually, it might even be more important for the homeowner, because they have this machine that they don't want to have to service. But if they do have to service it, it needs to be as easy as possible. So one is the electronics. We kind of talked about that a little bit. With all these little boards that are all over the place under the playfield, it's really easy to debug them. Like I said, if something goes out, you know it's connected to the board right next to it. You debug that board. If you don't know how to debug that board, you pull it out, throw it away, buy a new one. You're not throwing away a $350 board. You're throwing away a $60, $70, $100 board, and that's it. Or send it out, get it replaced. It's a lot, obviously, cheaper to stock up on a couple backup boards. Keep them in your parts closet, and if something goes wrong, just pop a new board in. Not that I expect any of the boards to go bad. In fact, I've been selling the P-Rock, like I said, for 3 years, the driver boards for a year. I haven't had a single customer complain about a board. That's because I only have three customers, but no, I'm just kidding. No, we sold quite a few boards. We have, I don't know if you know this, John Papaduke is using our boards for his machines. You've probably heard of the Predator Project. They're using our boards for their machines. We've talked to three or four other people who are thinking about starting up a boutique game design and using our boards. Not everyone's using our boards, but a good majority of the guys doing the boutique games are. Mechanicals. So you see the floating slingshots, you see the floating flippers, you don't see a lot of the other interesting stuff on the screen. But if they break, if a flipper breaks on your old machine, you're unscrewing that big bolt on the bottom, pulling them out, and then you have to, when you fix them, you stick them back in, you readjust them, you tighten the bolt, and you probably break the bolt once or twice when you over-tighten it or whatever. These guys, you take out four screws, you lift the flippers off the machine, and they're completely separate. Yeah, you have a wiring harness or two to disconnect, but it's a totally different methodology, right? It's just very different. Once you get used to it, you'll realize how much easier it is to maintain a machine. And what goes along with that is cleaning it. Wiping off the playfield, my fingers go right underneath these slingshots, underneath the rails. Just, again, take the four screws out, lift it up, wipe it down. It's clean. No more, two, three-day jobs pulling machines apart and then trying to figure out how to put them back together after you've cleaned the machine. There's no more wax buildup on your star post because you were too lazy to unscrew them and pull them off the machine when you waxed your playfield. We don't have any of that. Leveling.
Roll 0.2 right. Pitch 7.7. Roll 0.2 right.
If I lift the playfield up, it does adjust.
7.7. Roll 0.0.
If I tilt it, it should adjust.
7.7. Roll 1.7 lift. Pitch.
And of course, it's pretty simple, but when you're on the ground trying to level a pinball machine, what do? You stick a level on top, you get on your knees, you twist the feet, and you hope, like, should I twist it three times or four times? Let me go check. You jump back up, you're still a degree off, and you jump back down there again. Now you have something telling you. Not only is it telling you how to level your machine, but one of my big pet peeves is I go to an arcade or I go to somebody's house and I hit the start button, I play the first ball, and the ball rolls at an angle down the playfield. Crap, now first of all, the game's ruined. Now I gotta level it if I want to play it again. We can set up the software to not allow you to play it you can have a big display on the screen saying you're 2 degrees off center or whatever. It's slanted to the left or right. I mean, once you have the data, you can do anything you want with it. So our schedule is. Our first prototype was complete back in March. This is our second prototype. I'm calling it complete. We pretty much were working until wee hours of the morning just a couple of days ago before we hit the road. But it's basically complete. The cabinet we threw together in the last couple of weeks, I don't feel like this is the final cabinet. We're actually going to go hire mechanical engineers and build a real cabinet. But I like a lot of the elements of it. If you look over there in the corner behind Brandon, actually, there's a lid sitting there. That's instead of having slide-out playfield glass, we built a full lid, and we have these hinges here on the machine. So you can literally just lift up the lid. You have access to the machine. You don't have to, I don't know, it seems silly, but I hate pulling out that glass. I've broken a couple myself over the years, but it's just a pain to lift the lock bar up, pull the glass out, do what you need to do, slide the glass back in. So you can literally lift this lid up. We pulled it off because of the camera rig, but you can literally lift it up, and you can lift the playfield up right behind it. So there are elements of this cabinet that I really like. We'll probably keep a lot of them. A little bit of it will probably change. I don't know about a coin door. If we're selling to the home environment, probably most of you want a coin door just because that's what you're used to on a pinball machine. It doesn't look like a pinball machine without a coin door. I don't know. I got one head shaking. But again, we're interested in your feedback on all these things. We may just offer them as an option. We may sell it as a... Again, the customize it on the website. If you want a coin door, tell us. We'll add a coin door. It's not that big a deal. Because we have the serial switchboards, we actually have a switchboard right on the front of the cabinet for the flipper buttons. So tying in the coin mix and things to that switchboard is just a couple extra wires. It's really no big deal.
I need that door.
Or
my manual.
Your manual? You won't need a manual. It'll never break. Wait, I didn't say that.
Online viewer.
Okay. Online.
Online manual? On the screen?
On the screen?
I'll actually walk you through the service mode that I have now in a second, but... It's mostly just test modes I built myself while I was debugging things. I made it easy myself, so I'm not going to say they're final test modes, but I'll walk you through those in a minute. So we're taking pre-orders now. We're kind of combining this phase. It's pre-orders and development, right? We're going to go. We have a staff of three right now. We have some people on standby to go out and build production quality machines. We have a mechanical engineer on standby. We have software developers on standby. This type of machine is a little bit different from what you're used to. We actually have to go do a lot of graphic development to make it look interesting and immersive and fun. So we have graphic resources lined up. We just need to make sure you guys are interested in the machine, and obviously we're asking for your support as much as we can. If you like it, tell us. If there are things about it you don't like, tell us. Nothing's set in stone, but we do have a pretty solid plan of where we want to take it and how we want to get there. This phase will lead into our pre-production, and then we're expecting to reach availability the end of next year. And I know there's a lot of talk about schedules these days. We have a working prototype now. We have working software now. We have a working software framework. We have working control system. We just have to... basically make it production ready. We have to go build the real software. We have to go get everything, all of our mechanics, we got to go get them drawn and go get them produced. We have contract manufacturers lined up. We're not going to try to build a factory. We're not talking about volumes that are high enough to go build our own factory. So we have we live in Austin, Texas, and it's a pretty big hotbed for contract manufacturers. There are facilities all over the place where we can literally go give them bins of parts and instructions on how to build it. They'll build them, they'll test them, they'll ship them. So we don't have to take on all that work ourselves. And we have all that lined up. We just need to get the parts spec'd and built, and the software done, and then we can take care of it. After that, we'll follow up our special editions with some kind of standard edition. It'll look pretty much the same. Probably it'll have a few fewer features. Maybe the software will be a little bit different. It won't have that special edition game. It won't have some of our special edition artwork. Hopefully it's a little bit cheaper, but at some point we will follow up our special editions with that. Multimorphic.com to pre-order. Really all it asks you to do is send me an email, and I get those emails, and so I get them in order, and I'll go through them in order so no one jumps out of line or anything else. Get you on the list. We have some available now, obviously. I brought some forms with me. We can fill them out right now. Or afterwards at the show. That's pretty much it. Let me jump into the service mode real quick before we take questions. Okay, so it's a little bit blurry, but there's three things right now. Tests, main settings, and main audits. The main audits is empty. But tests, switches, there's a switch grid. As I run my finger through the optos up top, hit the buttons. It's just like, oh, my text isn't updating correctly. But it's just like any other little switch mode. Coils. I can pop my coils. Just like any other test mode. Nothing really interesting here. RGBs, I can step through and test. These are RGB flashers, by the way. I don't know if any machine has done RGB flashers yet. We're using really high current LEDs for these four flashbox, which are holding in our tubes. And the cool thing about RGB LEDs, or LEDs in general, is they're not like those super bright incandescents that take a ton of current and would blow the fuse if you left them on. So we could literally leave this on all day. But these are ultra bright ones. And some of the other LEDs that you can't see on the screen, if you look on the left side, there's one blinking. That's one of our side targets that's rotating between our red, green, and blue. Walls and bridges. We didn't talk about our walls and bridges. There's a feature on the machine that you can't really see on the camera again. The whole center of the play field, come up and look at it afterwards, is a row of scoops, meaning kind of like your medieval madness trolls, they pop up. But these are scoops, so they're holes. If they pop up, the ball can fall into them. We can literally open up a channel the full width of the play field. And right in front of all those scoops is a row of walls, which are just kind of like drop targets, which all rise up and can completely block the wall. Each and every one of those features, the walls and the scoops, are RGB lit. So you have a hole that's up. It can change colors. We can use these colors to tell you how many times to hit it or what mode you're in a game. Or we can turn everything red when the game's over, kind of like we did in the Barnyard game. But these walls, I call them bridges because the ball can roll over them or fall into them. You'll hear them pop. So now the entire middle section of the playfield is open. If a ball goes up towards the top of the playfield, it'll fall into the hole. And what we can do with games like with a feature like this is we can set up games kind of like, I don't know, the example I use a lot is Missile Command. The video game Missile Command. If we had missiles flying down the screen that you're shooting at, it's kind of weird if you shoot a ball up there and it hits or misses, and then it ricochets around and it blows up everything else. Well, so now we can shoot balls up, and the game can eat them and feed them back to you. So we can feed you a continuous stream of balls, and it's kind of like a rapid-fire gun game or you just have ammunition that you're shooting. The other thing, so drop all those. So now the walls are all up. With the walls being up, it's kind of like you've confined the game to the lower portion of the playfield. Think of a game like Breakout, Arkanoid, or any other game where you want to do something only in here, and you don't want the balls to go up into the upper section of the playfield. You want to be able to fire a gun and have it ricochet around the four corners of the screen and take out whatever it is you're working on or trying to blow up. And then, of course, you can lift any combination. You can enable shots by raising up all the walls, lowering one, enable one shot through whichever channel you want on the screen, or you can raise up one scoop. We have a mode on here on the real game called black hole mode, where I lift up two of the scoops, and they represent a black hole. So while you're collecting points through this mode by shooting the ramps and loops and all those things, if you ever shoot it into the black hole does what black holes do. It sucks away the ball. It sucks away all your points. So everything you've collected up to that point is gone if you hit the black hole. So it's like, I don't know of a game that's done it before. I'm sure there are some out there, but it's setting up shots that you have to avoid instead of shots that you have to hit. So it's kind of an interesting take on things. Underkeeper, this is representing all of the stuff that's under the playfield. If I hit the button, it kicks a ball out. If you watch between the flippers, you'll see a little red dot as it rolls out the drain. And now down here, there's another row of switchboards. It's representing a trough at the bottom. And it kicks it back into the trough. So it gives you a graphical way to see what's going on underneath your game. If something's not working right, you can pull this mode up and see what's going on. I can just cycle it a few times. This is also a neat way. It's what I use when I'm lifting the playfield up, or if I want to move the machine, I want to take out all the balls. I just fire up this mode and kick the balls out, so I can pull them out of the machine. Notice there's one dot right there that looks like it's off-centered, but it's there's another opto that knows when the ball's kicking up and over from the kicker on the right. So it just tells you if that's working or not. And then of course the level mode, which is always active.
Roll 0.2 right.
The plan is to use that accelerometer, which is doing the leveling, to detect your tilts, your nudges. Not only that, but we can use the data to integrate nudging into the game. Think about some of the games you play on your iPhones or your Android phones or whatever, where you shake the game to get a box to fall off of another box. Maybe we could do something like that where you nudge the machine, or it can detect when you're nudging it. It can teach you how much you can nudge it without tilting. Other interesting things we can do, because we have the monitor underneath the playfield or underneath the flippers, we can play video captures of like flipper post passes. We can show you exactly on the play field, the ball's here, then you flip this flipper, it hits this post, it bounces over to the other one. We can teach you how to do things, and we can show you exactly on the machine when you need to hit it. Let's say we're trying to teach you how to do a death save. Oh, by the way, death saves. Most of you with machines at your home, you probably like, no one's death saving on my machine. I don't want anybody moving my machine. I'm the opposite. At my house, I encourage death saves. We could use this machine to teach you how to do stuff like that, right? If the ball's rolling down from the right, we can tell you, I mean, we could even hold the flipper up for you and tell you when to push the machine to get the ball to pop back up. We can help you cheat. The other interesting thing about this design is, you can't really see it, but this channel goes down to the center, and this channel goes down to the center. We don't have that offset hole that existing games do, but I think they do it for the shape of their trough. I did it this way because I wanted to be on a death save from both sides. Yes?
What about self-playing?
Self-playing. I programmed up a demo mode, a while back that would just run through. It would set up shots. Again, you probably can't. Yeah, I don't have it enabled in this demo, but it would run through each and every shot. It would kick the ball out and shoot the shots. It was about 75-80%. Yes, of course, we can do it. I would like it to be able to be self-playable such that it's not just hitting balls that are being fed from the tubes, that it's actually understanding where the ball is, how fast it's moving, maybe even what kind of spin it has based on it, the path it's taking, and be able to intelligently make shots. Obviously, it's possible. It's possible. It's just the software complexity to do that is a little bit tough. One of my goals is to build the ability for the machine to do a live catch. I want the machine to be able to flip the flipper as the ball's coming down and just stop the ball and have it roll down the flipper. That's one of my goals. It's probably going to be really hard to do. But we do have all the data. The resolution we have on the screen, this is a zoomed out version of the ball tracking technology we have. So each and every intersection point on the screen, actually it's not just the intersection point, wherever the ball is, it's going to be blocking 3 or 4 or 5 lines. So pretty much no matter where the ball is, we can take that line data and figure out, the software will know where it is. So, I mean, obviously as the ball's moving, we can measure the distance and the time between 2 points or whatever, and we can figure out the velocity, the direction, and everything else we need to know. But again, the software to do all that and to actually make it playable and intelligent, it could be a little bit of work. Or a whole lot of work. That's pretty much it. Anybody else have questions? I kind of skipped over this question section. Go ahead.
I was unable to go to the Texas Pinball Festival. They had the biggest turnout they ever had down there. Mm-hmm. Okay. How many pre-orders did you take? What kind of feedback did you get down there?
In March of this year, we didn't have pre-orders open. We opened pre-orders about 3 or 4 weeks ago. The feedback we got at Texas was incredible. No one had seen the machine before. We had people at our booth the entire time. We had Jack come by, we had Steve Ritchie come by, we had George Gomez come by, and everyone, it was funny watching the smiles on their faces as they played it. But we had kids coming by the whole weekend, like I said earlier. We literally had to have the kids step aside so other people could play the game. This one family of 3 or 4 kids, they came back every day the entire weekend, and I want to play Barnyard again. Silly little mini games, but yeah, we had a really good turnout at Texas.
Sarah, is anybody walking?
The show was crowded. We were unfortunately right next to the Marco Specialties booth with their big AC/DC setup, or was it AC/DC? Yeah, with their big speakers just blowing us away. But it was a good show. It was a good show. Any other questions about the machine? About the company? There must be some. Yes, go ahead.
I would like to see the grid test mode with the ball actually rolling around in it. That would be really cool.
How about this? Let me turn on the virtual ball and then do it with my finger. It doesn't lag a little. Right now I'm using an averaging algorithm to figure out the ball. The lines are they keeping up with my finger? Maybe they're lagging just a little bit. But what's interesting is we can use prediction technology because we have the speed and the direction of the ball. We can predict where it's going. So we could theoretically eliminate any lag that there is. The grid technology does work with multi-ball. We have a 2-ball multi-ball programmed into the game now that hopefully some of you reach when you're playing it out on the floor. Yes, it does. And we can do that because wherever the ball is, it's breaking 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 lines. So yes, there will be combinations of ball positions where it will get a little bit confused. Of course, if you have 4 balls on the play field and an asteroid that's a little bit away from your ball gets blown up, you probably won't even notice because you're concentrating on keeping the balls alive. But yes, the tracking does work for multiple balls. Yes?
You said you're in Austin. Do you know, did Pinball's Arcade order one?
Pinball's Arcade has not ordered one yet. He has offered that we can take it to his place and set it up and let people play. He'll set up for his leagues. Yeah, I think he's got a league set up where people are joining that. Yeah, like I said, he saw the machine at Texas and said he was ordering one and investing, and he was all excited. So we'll see what happens, but yeah. Pinballs, if you don't know, is an arcade in Austin, Texas that has, that probably has 200 pinball machines in it, ranging from, just like out here, from really old to really new. Go ahead.
Are the interchangeable physical modules limited to only changing the back of the playing field, or can they add features down the sides as well?
It's a good question. Can we set up these upper playfield modules that they can extend out over the playfield? Right now, the plan is not to allow that. We're going to have the, from the scoops and walls down will be the platform. The only thing that's not quite true is there are side rails that, you know, for the outer loops that keep the ball rolling in the outer loops. Those extend over, well, actually outside of the wall. But yeah, the upper playfield will pretty much just be the upper playfield module. But if you actually go look at games on the floor, yeah, most games have a few features in the lower portion of the playfield, but I mean, go do it. Do it as a little exercise. Walk around the floor and see how many games, how many late 80s, 90s, 2000 games have stuff in the middle of the playfield, and it's really not that much. This thing looks completely open because it is, because of that monitor. It's kind of an optical illusion. It's really not any more open than most pinball machines. I mean, a little bit, but not crazy.
How about some of the replacement parts? I mean, you talked a little about the serviceability. Plastic tubes you have for the ball returns and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I know it's more designed for home use, but you know, like I'd be a little bit worried about like maybe discoloration or warping, and you know, if I need to replace those versus
yeah.
you know.
Let's talk about the tubes. The tubes. I like the tubes. I did the tubes originally because they were an easy way. Well, I thought they were going to be an easy way for me to create a ball path without soldering up wire forms and bending them and or doing some vacuformed ramp. I don't think the tubes are manufacturable. We've talked to some manufacturing people about how to build these tubes, and it's probably not going to... We're probably going to wind up with traditional wire forms and vacuum-formed ball channels. So in that sense, it'll be just what you're used to. Interestingly, I talked to Brian Eddy about some of the playfield, and he said they considered doing acrylic tubes for, I think it was the Shadow, because there's some element in the movie that, I don't know the movie, but related to the tubes. And he said they ruled them out for manufacturing reasons and because they're hard to clean. And it was actually funny, because a few weeks earlier, we had pretty much ruled them out for production because they're hard to manufacture and they're hard to clean. But really, all I wanted was a smooth transition out of the ball kicker, the vertical up kicker, and I wanted to deliver the ball down here. And we can do that with other means. So as far as that stuff goes, we're going to design those out. Everything else, mostly it's a combination of acrylic and Lexan. Pretty much everything else is built out of Lexan. And I don't think Lexan discolors long term. Not only that, but Lexan is like 200 times stronger than glass. So there's at least the Lexan elements, which is what the flippers are made out of, and the... Well, actually, these flippers are acrylic. They're going to be made out of Lexan. The top plastics are all made out of Lexan, and there's pretty much no chance of any of that breaking. Some of the acrylic elements could possibly break, but we'll probably replace all that with Lexan, too. Yes?
Do you patent your software?
I'm sorry?
Do you plan to patent?
We have 10 patents pending on this machine. Software patents, hardware patents.
How far away do you have from
your... We've done provisionals, so we have to follow up the real ones, and then it takes however long, but we are protected on all of our key features. We're protected on, at least we think we're protected. If someone filed a provisional a week before us, then we think we are and we're not, but yeah, we have all of our main technology covered. Anything else in the back?
Could you speak on the firmware and software updates?
Firmware and software updates, yes. This will be, I mean, the firmware... The firmware, when I think of firmware, I think of the hardware, how we have the hardware set up. And that is upgradable now through a tool, a software tool that we distribute. The software itself will have, like I said before, we'll probably have an app store thing, like thing, for downloading new games. And then we'll probably set up a server where you can go in and the machine will call into it and get its software updates automatically. I mean, we have a computer in there. We might as well take advantage of all the tools and technologies that other people have built for doing this stuff. It just doesn't make sense to make it difficult on anyone. It doesn't make sense to have you update via USB stick if you have a network connected. Of course, if you don't have a network connected, then USB or whatever media is the only real option. But yeah, we'll make it as easy as we can. I mean, we're technology guys. We want it to be state-of-the-art. We want it to be just as easy as any of the other equipment that's out there now. Not pinball equipment, but you know, technology. Anything else? Yes?
On the software, do you have a software simulator for an SDK? So obviously, you know, it's great to have one if I wanted to, you know, write my own game or whatever, but if I don't have the platform in front of me, is there something I can use to, you know...
So is the question, do we have an emulation of the playfield and the ball tracking and all that stuff?
Maybe not the ball track, but, you know, at least enough to get something going without actually having...
Right, so not yet. But yes, we will. Our software guys will develop that for their own use, and then we'll make it available for it. We're planning on distributing an SDK once we get to that point, a software development kit with the tools and the emulation functions and features required to build software. Yes. I think we have probably time for one more question. So who wants it? Yes.
Are the components on the boards, are they surface mount?
It's a combination. The driver boards, all the transistors are through-hole. But pretty much everything else on the board is surface mount. When I read about the discussions on the forums about surface mount and through-hole, I don't know, I kind of chuckle a little bit, because a lot of people think that through-hole is easier to service. And that may be true for certain technologies, but in general, if you get comfortable enough to replace through-hole things with a soldering iron, it's actually easier if you learn the right techniques to replace surface mount. So I don't feel bad about those decisions. But again, my transistors for all the driver boards are through-hole. So you can clip them in, unsolder them, the pins will fall out, drop a new one in. Yeah, very easy. And then like I said before, if you don't want to do that work yourself, again, it's an $80, $90, $100 board that you're replacing or whatever. So send it out to get it replaced and grab a new one and stick it in there and you're good to go.
Can the board tell that the transistor's out and not sluffy is going to just shunt out, or is it like the old boards where the transistor goes out and it's shorted?
I mean, transistors can fail in any number of ways. They may be short, they may be open. But no, the game doesn't currently detect. But these are all things that over time, as we mature as a company and as our platform matures, we'll build in features and make it easier to debug and make the system smarter. Obviously, we have a system that we can expand in ways that older systems couldn't be expanded because they were all embedded. But we have access to tools, technologies. We can take advantage of a lot of work done by other people in the software world to make this platform a lot easier to use, serviceable, and extensible. So thank you. Thank you for coming. Like I said earlier, we'll have the machine over, and we're going to take it over to the game room now. So it'll be out there. Come play it. Come talk to us and give us your feedback.